All right, let's pick the brains of one of our great friends from Fox Sports, Daniel Garb. You'll hear his voice regularly here on 11:16 SEN throughout the English Premier League campaign. He's at Trent Bridge at the moment, but we're not going to talk cricket with you, Garby, because I think the less said, best said, the better there. Welcome to our season preview, mate, and thanks for giving us some of your time.
Not a problem, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you've picked us up at Liverpool, and we might as well ask you the question. We've heard from Adrian there straight away. They're one of the most talked about sides at the best of times, but this season, with the money spent, the players in, what are your thoughts, the expectations for Brendan Rodgers' side?
Well, it's crunch time for him. Simple as that. I mean, he needs to get a reaction from those signings straight away within the first 3 months. He's been in the club for three seasons now. He spent big last transfer window, of course, or last summer after the loss of Luis Suarez, and it was a horrible campaign for the Reds. He's been given a stay of execution by the Liverpool board. They've actually the assistant managers instead. They've backed him again in the transfer market, and he simply has to get results straight away. There's no time for these signings to be bedded in. They have to respond, and it is exciting at the same time because the players are ready-made players in Benteke, in James Milner, in Nathaniel Klein, who I think may just be the pick of the bunch. As exciting as Benteke is, I think Nathaniel Klein's a very shrewd signing by Liverpool. Without doubt, the second-best right-back after Branislav Ivanovic in the Premier League last season. He's young, and that's been a problem area after Glenn Johnson's woes over the last two seasons or so. So I think that's an encouraging one for the Reds. But, of course, the pressure will be on Benteke straight away, the microscope on him, £32 million. He needs to get going from the off, and I've got a feeling that it might just work out for Liverpool. The comparisons with Andy Carroll, I don't see, just because they're both tall, that doesn't matter. Benteke plays a different brand. He runs the channels. He's much more comfortable with the ball at his feet. He is skillful, and he can score a variety of goals with his feet and with his head. So they seem to have the makings of an all-round dynamic big striker there, Liverpool. He needs to respond at a big club. That will be the big question mark on him. If he does straight away, it'll be huge for the Reds. And just maybe Brendan Rodgers can get things going early on. And they can make a play for the top four. That will be the big challenge, of course. It won't be easy. But if the new signings respond, it may be possible.
Garby, moving on to Manchester City, they haven't done a lot in the transfer market this window. Notably, they've picked up Raheem Sterling and Fabian Delph. Where do you see them placed? A lot of people actually think they might come off the boil a bit, looking more at a third or fourth place and not challenging with the likes of a Chelsea and an Arsenal. Where do you put them?
It's hard to know with Man City right now. Raheem Sterling, how much of an impact can he have straight away? I'm a Sterling fan. I know there's some who think £49 million is over the odds, and of course it is. But I think he can be a world-class player in the not-too-distant future. Let's not forget how dynamic he was for Liverpool the season before last when they challenged for the title, and he rode off the back of Luis Suarez and Daniel Sturridge brilliantly. He's got Sergio Aguero up there. He's got pace and a wonderful movement. If he can find a space around him, he can exploit that with his wonderful movement and blistering pace as well, Raheem Sterling. So I think he's a good signing for them. Fabian Delph I like as well. But a lot will depend, once again, on Sergio Aguero and also Yaya Toure. Last season, he was very ordinary, to say the least. He didn't want to be at Man City. He wanted out. He thought he was leaving. Now that his future is committed there, we've seen a different Yaya Toure in the pre-season. He seems switched on. I mean, you saw that in Australia when he was down under on the Man City tour. If he can wind back the clock and produce some of his best Yaya Toure, then it may just keep City right back up there and potentially challenging for the title once more. But defensively, they had some concerns last season with Vincent Kompany. Where he's at will have a big impact as well. So not the mass signings that we expected from them, but if Yaya Toure can produce his best and Aguero can stay fit, they'll be up there once more for mine.
Gully, Man United, mate, they've spent a lot of money, particularly in midfield with Schweinsteiger and Schneiderlin coming in, with also Di Maria just recently being confirmed as going out. Are they the real deal? Where do you have them?
The jury's out on Louis van Gaal this season. It's really going to be a big one for him because he had the benefit last season, boys, of coming in after David Moyes. And, of course, we know the problem with David Moyes is that he didn't look comfortable in the hot seat there at Manchester United with the pressure on him. That was never going to be an issue for Louis van Gaal with his experience, with his aura, and with his maturity at big clubs. That was never going to be a problem. So he came in and got the respect straight away. Now the pressure will be on in terms of tactics, in terms of consistent results. They probably only produced top-class football for 6 weeks last season, Manchester United, towards the end. They beat Liverpool at Anfield, had a few other big results, and then dropped off a little bit once more. He's got to produce consistency this season. They've got the challenge for the title. Until they sort out the David De Gea situation, it's probably a bit of a concern for them because he was so important for them last season. Without him, they may not have made the top four. Such was the impact of his performances. If they sort that out one way or another, it'll give them some clarity, but they simply need consistency. They simply have to challenge for the title, or else there'll be pressure on LVG.
Garby, it's that time of the year again when everyone talks Arsenal's hopes up. It's become a notorious thing each year, year in, year out. Can they go one better? Do they actually have the ingredients finally to push Chelsea?
Quite possibly. I mean, it's it was a fantastic end to the season for them last season, of course. Now they've gone and signed Petr Cech. It will just give them so much stability and composure at the back. That will be the benefit of Cech. If you look back over the course of last season, if they were able to stabilised defensively in the first half of the season when Wenger left them incredibly undermanned at the back and they lost Kolarov and Koscielny for a period of time, who I think is their most important player, Arsenal, considering the lack of reinforcements at the back. It became a massive problem for them. Once Koscielny came back, they all of a sudden settled and played some wonderful football, which we know they can. Petr Cech coming in gives them further stability in the defensive line, and with all their options in attacking midfield and up front, I think they can certainly put together some consistency and quite possibly challenge. The big question mark on them is whether they have a striker good enough to do so. Olivier Giroud's the main man. He had a very good season last time out. If he goes down, what do they do? But they have got Theo Walcott and Alexis Sanchez who can both play there. They do have viable options. The other question mark is defensive midfield. Francis Coquelin had an enormous impact towards the end of last season in that role. But they'll be expecting a consistent season over 38 games for him this time around, as opposed to just the 2 to 3 months that he strung together at the end of last season. And if he goes down, who else fills in? And Matthew Flamini, they don't believe he's up to it. Mikel Arteta is towards the back end of his career as well. So that's potentially a problem area for them. But otherwise, they look very strong, especially in attacking midfield, where they just have so much depth and so much quality. I think it could be a big season for Arsenal, but there are still a number of question marks there.
Garby, Chelsea and Jose Mourinho, are they still the benchmark? They've obviously got a very settled squad, awesome defence, great in midfield with Matic and Fabregas, respectively. The only worry really is Costa. If he goes down with his dodgy hamstrings, where do you have them? Are they still the ones to catch?
Yeah, that is a worry with Costa because they've put a lot of faith in Radamel Falcao, haven't they? Which will be one of the most intriguing players to watch in transfers over the summer. Because of the fact that he was so poor at Manchester United, yet Mourinho still has faith that he can get the best out of him. It's going to be a huge challenger for Jose Mourinho. If he does, if he gets Falcao back to his Atletico Madrid days, well, then it's going to be very, very hard for any team to stop them, of course. I thought they are the team to beat because they are so settled all over the park. They have such a strong defence. John Terry was just out of this world last season. Yes, he's another year older, but he seems to still have the drive and the energy. In Thibaut Courtois, they have a quite magnificent goalkeeper. And then the likes of Ivanovic and as for Laquette, they just have fullbacks that are very difficult to beat. And that just gives them wonderful protection, of course. And then going forward with the best player in the league, and Eden Hazard, the best central midfielder just about, you know, and Cesc Fabregas, it's complete quality all over the park for Chelsea. So it's hard to see any team stopping them. But a couple of big injuries, say to John Terry or to Diego Costa or someone like Cesc Fabregas, and perhaps they might be a little light on in terms of depth. But their first 11, no one comes close in the league for me.
Garby, just before we let you go, and obviously back to the carnage that is the cricket at Trent Bridge, is there a bolter? I mean, we've covered off predominantly on the bigger sides with you, but is there one from outside of that pack that you could see encroaching on that top four, or is that just a bridge too far for most other sides?
Yeah, a bridge too far for the top four, but I think Crystal Palace is the side to watch this season for me. Had a really strong end to the campaign last time out under Alan Pardew. It seems to be the perfect manager for them. I think he's a very underrated manager, Pardew. I think he's done, I think he did very well at Newcastle with his hands tied behind his back at times. It's nearly imploded since he's left. I think he's a very shrewd operator. And the signing of Johan Cabaye, I think, was a wonderful one for them. Some question marks over why he's gone to Crystal Palace. Is there something amiss there? I think they just managed to steal a bargain. And in Connor Wickham, going up front, they've got a very exciting young striker. So I like the way that Palace have recruited in the off-season. And I think they could be a team that can push for the top half. The top four? No. I mean, I think it'll be the top four as it is. And Liverpool and Spurs around the mark again. Southampton could quite possibly drop off because they've lost Schneiderlin and Klein now. But I think Crystal Palace could be the team potentially to push for one of those top seven or eight spots because they've recruited very well.
Oh, there you go. Our man Dominic Favada's pretty happy with that. Garvey, he's got them inside the top eight. So music to his ears. As a final one before we let you go of the promoted sides, it's always a tough ask to see them survive. But of the three that have come up, is there one or a couple in particular you've got high hopes for?
I mean, it's hard to pick, isn't it? But yep. I can't wait to see what Bournemouth do. I really can't because their story is magnificent. In Eddie Howe, they have such an enterprising and exciting young English manager who that club absolutely adores. I mean, Burnley had that as well, didn't they, with their manager, and it didn't quite work out at the end. But I really like the way that Bournemouth operates. I like Eddie Howe as a future manager of the very highest standards. And it'd be great if they can play some exciting football and take some big scalps. Whether they can produce it over the course of a 38-game season, of course, is always a major concern. And that's going to be very tough for them. But I think they'll be very exciting to watch. Not sure if they'll be able to emerge from it. Watford have signed very well. But how much stability there is at their club is hard to know with their owner. Norwich is going to be difficult for them. They haven't signed much in the off-season, so it could be tough. But Bournemouth is obviously the side they were hoping can produce a Cinderella story.
Yeah, I would have thought so. There was one final one off the SMS for you, Garby, and that's whether or not you'll be pulling on the pads for the fifth test at the Oval because the Aussie top order needs a bit of a chop out. Can you give us the scoop there? Has Darren Lehman had a word to you yet, mate?
I would love to, boys, and I might be able to have a bit more footwork at the crease than Michael Clarke at the moment, but I think I'll be standing behind the microphone asking the questions on what has been one of the darkest days in Australian cricket history.
And just obviously, we wish you all the very best for the upcoming season, Garby. I know our listeners will look forward to seeing your familiar face pitch side at a number of games throughout the campaign, doing some stellar work there on Fox Sports, and always very generous with your time. So enjoy, or try and enjoy, the cricket, and we'll look forward to the weekend EPL. It's back with us.
Thank you, guys. All the best. Good luck with the show. You're doing great things.
Thanks, Garby. Daniel Garb there joining us from Fox Sports. We'll fire off a quick break. Got plenty of other clubs to get through. Newcastle, Norwich, Southampton, Stoke and Sunderland. Next, Cabs off the rank.